Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm joined today by our Chair, Emmanuel Faber, and we're recording this podcast during our September Board Week, which has taken place in Montreal. So Emmanuel, we didn't have a board meeting in August, which means that this is our first podcast since July, and in that podcast we discussed exciting announcements in the wake of the publication of our first standards, so the IOSCO endorsement, the TCFD concluding their work, and also the high degree of alignment of climate-related disclosures in ISSB and ESRS standards. And so what's been keeping us all busy since then?
Thank you, Sue. Yeah, indeed, the month of July was super eventful after the launch of S1 and S2, and yet we now have to focus on what's coming next in many ways. So I'd say probably three buckets of activities for us. First and foremost, developing the implementation support for IFRS S1 and S2 starts with the capacity building efforts. We're working with and through partners to develop training materials and developing a knowledge hub for preparers, which we expect to unfold essentially at COP28 in a couple of months' time to ensure that all of this is up and running when our standards are effective 1st of January 2024. We have also now completed the announced transition implementation group, appointed 13 preparers, 4 assurance providers, all coming from a total of 15 different jurisdictions that have deep technical expertise as a forum to share implementation questions. We are ready to go. First questions can come in. We are ready to answer those. And finally, in terms of implementation support, that's about the taxonomy. So we're currently consulting on our taxonomy to facilitate digital consumption of sustainability-related financial disclosures where when our standards are first applied. The response to that are due by 26th of September. Same thing, very important to be on time on that aspect. And I just like to add as well that that taxonomy will serve as a basis to enhance even further the interoperability practically with the ESRS in the coming months. The second bucket is about adoption. We're focused on our bilateral engagement with a number of jurisdictions and the development of our global adoption strategy. So first of all, we, I think, are blessed with a strong positive response from stakeholders globally. Of course, the unanimous vote of the IOSCO board for endorsement is paving the way to very positive reception, as well as the support of the Financial Stability Board of the G20. Our standards are only, you know, published since a few months. It's only like not even 2 months since IOSCO is endorsed, and we already have dozens of jurisdictions actively considering their adoption roadmaps. Famously, our examples include Nigeria, who were first to raise their hands at COP27 last year already, but now joined by Singapore, Brazil, Hong Kong, Japan, Canada, the UK, and Australia, and a number of others. So with those conversations, we are finalizing our work on our adoption guide, which a precursor document has been shared. On the day IOSCO endorsed our standards, and that is basically guiding jurisdictions in their journey to the adoption. We expect to finish that adoption guide by the end of this year. That will assist the phasing and the scaling in a way that also delivers consistency and comprehensiveness as soon as practicable for our global baseline. And last and third bucket, we have concluded 2 important consultations. We have the agenda consultation, where we sought feedback on priorities for the 2-year work plan coming. We're committed to balancing new projects with supporting effective implementation of S1 and S2. Very pleased with the number of responses, 400, more than 400. We also engaged with 3,000 stakeholders during the consultation period. And this is the opportunity for me to really thank all of our stakeholders for actively taking part in these responses. They are precious material in which we will re-deliberate in the next several months coming. The view would be that we would finalize our work plan in the first half of next year. We also have concluded the SASB standards so that we will be able to shortly complete the international applicability of the SASB standards as promised before the end of this year and as soon as practicable. So that was a pretty rich and I would say probably broader scheme of activities for us as a board and our staff over the last several weeks since our board of July. And I would say in many ways that's very, very much as we anticipated the start of a second phase of development for our work. And with that, you know, we've also been very active outside. And Sue, could you update us on some of the stakeholders meeting we've had?
Sure. So, yeah, we've been very busy out talking to our stakeholders about our work. So I was in Australia during August, meeting with some key stakeholders there. Australia's just completed a Treasury consultation considering sustainability reporting. So it was really great to meet stakeholders there and to talk about S1 and S2 and also to talk about our agenda consultation. And then others have been out and about as well. So in Africa, our board member Ndidi has had a great week at Africa Climate Week with a number of African jurisdictions such as Nigeria and Kenya who have announced their intention to consider adoption of the standards. And our team is really helping focus on capacity building initiatives with partners to support that interest. And then my fellow vice chair, Jingdong Hua, was in China where he met with a number of key stakeholders, which was fabulous given that we've recently established our office in Beijing and the full board is actually looking forward to its first meeting in China later this year. So great to have Jingdong there leading the charge before we all turn up in November. And Emmanuel, you were in Brussels, the heart of the discussions on interoperability, so maybe you could tell us about that.
Yeah, I was indeed. I went with Erki Lee Cannon, the chair of our IFRS Foundation trustees, and Andreas Barkov, the chair of our sister board of the ISSB, to meet, as we did last year, with the Economic and Monetary Affairs Committee in the European Parliament early September. It was, I think, a quite positive discussion, especially following the outcome of the discussions we had with the European Commission and EFRAG to deliver a high degree of alignment around climate-related disclosures and also the insertion of our investor materiality definition in the core of ESRS S1, ensuring the full interoperability for those companies that have to or would like to report on both set of standards. We are conscious that there is more work to be done with our colleagues in Europe to ensure that we have a proper navigation tool that is jointly and clearly shared with the market participants. And we are currently working, I should say you, Sue, in particular, working with our team to ensure that happens in the coming months. As I said, the work that we do on taxonomy will also ensure that digital tagging will serve the reduction of the burden of reporting for preparers. I did allude earlier on the SASB standard consultation, so would you share a bit more about this, Sue?
Yes, sure. So you set me up well here to remind people that we're working to improve the international applicability of the SASB standards in time for the effective date of S1 at the beginning of January next year. So we were really pleased to talk about the feedback that we received at this week's board meeting in Montreal. Just to remind people, this is really important because the SASB standards are referred to as a really important source of guidance in S1 to provide targeted information that's decision useful for investors on sustainability, risks and opportunities beyond climate. So it's a really important stream of work here. So we are track to get that done in time for January, and we were really thrilled actually with the number of submissions that we got. I mean, this is pretty targeted work, and we were really thrilled to receive about 150 submissions, including from a lot of stakeholders who haven't been users of the SASB standards in the past, and a much broader range of stakeholders. So it's really great to see that increase in the range of views that we're receiving. And we were went through the analysis and were really pleased to see broad support for the direction of travel on the proposals of how we go about the methodology to update these jurisdiction-specific references in the SASB standards. What we're doing here is really just making sure that when a company looks to the SASB standards for inspiration for their disclosures, that it's not a barrier to use that they come across a jurisdiction-specific reference that just really doesn't resonate given where they operate. And the proposed approach there was well received. So we are going to continue with that targeted work on that. The board advisors on the SASB standards are working hard with the staff to bring the draft to the market for a period of 30 days. It's not another consultation, but it's a sort of courtesy really for our stakeholders so they can get familiar with these changes prior to them being finalised towards the end of this year. So look out for that. This is a very targeted project on international applicability. We know there's more work to do on the SASB standards, so we asked a broader question in this exposure draft, and people gave us some great ideas in terms of what we should look at on the SASB standards. We also got quite a lot of feedback about that in the agenda consultation. So one of the things we're really keen to do is to pull that feedback together and really think about our strategy for how we approach the ongoing maintenance and enhancement of the SASB standards as part of the bigger strategy of the ISSB as we develop that future work plan. So that was our week in Montreal, busy week here, and now we are looking forward to next week, another exciting week in the journey of the ISSB. So a group of us are off to New York for Climate Week. So Emmanuel, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, and probably with your support, Sue, because you'll be there as well, and Jin Dong and a number of our colleagues as well, staff and members of the board. That is an important week for us, given now that our climate standard is out there. There is huge expectations from the climate stakeholders around the ability to now use this standard to clarify their risks and opportunities, clarify the impacts as well that may be material in terms of the prospects of the company when it comes to climate. And so lots of expectations. In particular, you will be in a discussion with David Craig, the co-chair of the Task Force on Nature-Related Financial Disclosures. Do you want to say a few words about this?
Yes, so a big week for the TNFD next week. So they'll be launching their final recommendations, which will help companies to communicate information about nature-related risks and opportunities to investors, but also to other stakeholders. We're really interested in the work of the TNFD, as people might know. In our consultation on our future work plan, one of the projects that we had selected as a potential future project is on biodiversity ecosystems and ecosystem services. So looking at the TNFD recommendations as a source of inspiration for our future work is something that we have signalled in the past. And the other thing to note is that we really welcome the TNFD's strong support for our work in their final recommendations, where they refer to our work as being a global baseline of information for reporting to investors. And also we're thrilled with the level of compatibility between our work and theirs, not least because we've both used the TCFD architecture as the basis for our work. So really pleased to see that moving forward. And on Climate Week more generally, I think we're just really delighted with the overall number of our stakeholders who we know want to learn more about our standards and work. And so we've got a really hectic schedule ahead of us next week, but that's great. And we're especially looking forward to meeting with our own investor advisory group. And also we've got an event with our IFRS Sustainability Alliance next week as well. So lots of things to look forward to. And maybe, Emmanuel, you can finish off by a peek ahead to what the rest of September looks like for us.
Well, it looks pretty busy to all of us, I think. If just specifically for me, I'd like to highlight our World Standard Setters Conference, which is always a very important moment for the foundation and for us at ISSB now, which is a chance to meet with national standard setters to discuss with this vital audience the progress that we're making in our standards, in addition to, of course, the more specific and privileged channels that we have, like the jurisdictional working group with seven specific jurisdictions, and that meet every month our Sustainability Standards Advisory Forum that will meet soon in Frankfurt next month. But here we are welcoming the broader audience, and it's great to have all the diversity of point of views and meeting people that we can't meet on such a regular basis. So now that our standards are out, the international perspective on their application is just going to be critical at that moment where we're finalizing our adoption strategy and where we need to focus our efforts to support those jurisdictions in their own journey. And I guess with that, we will wrap up, and we look forward to speaking to you again after our October board meeting. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
For the latest developments from either the International Sustainability Standards Board or the International Accounting Standards Board, make sure to subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website, www.ifrs.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player.